Everyone, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Biz Chat. We do the Woo Podcast Show. Woo! Woo! Woo Biz Chat is sponsored by AirWallex. The online payment plugin allows you or your clients to localize your WooCommerce store checkout experience by enabling customers to pay with preferred currencies and payment methods. And OmniSend, the solution for email and SMS marketing with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops and your own website while saving you time with pre-built automations that drive sales. I'll tell you more about our sponsors later in the show, but let's dive into another Woo Biz Chat.
This is Woo Biz Chat. Hi, my name is Adam Weeks, and this is...
Hi, I'm Emma.
Hey, Emma. Oh, my goodness. It's been a little while. We're getting to catch up, and have we got a show for you?
Oh, do we?
Yes, 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 yes. This is Woo Biz Chat, Woo Biz Chat. This conversation came about. I was thinking of this topic. I don't know that we've really talked about this much. However, I have a new contract. I've been working with 10Up. 10Up is one of the biggest agencies in WordPress, and they have gotten this big because they do some things really well. I've been so impressed with the team. One of the things that I hear repeatedly, it's that last 10Up, that last 10% that they do. And that's really what gets them over the finish line with some of these big enterprise projects. And it's just, it's been a lot of fun getting to know this very talented team. One of the people on this team, her name is Haley, and she is hilarious. She's a project manager, and she's really good at communicating. In fact, this morning, I hopped on Slack, as you do, and she had a really succinct but thorough rundown of an event, of a thing that happened that we needed to be updated on. And she did it in a way that was succinct, it was clear, it was also funny, it was interesting, and timely. So let's talk about a few of those things. We're going to talk about in this episode, if you're curious about asynchronous communication. This is something that is a little bit unique, not to WooCommerce so much, but so many people in Woo, I would imagine that we have to work asynchronously. We're in our Slack, we're in our email, and we need to have a good foundation, a good way that we communicate asynchronously. And we're going to jump into all those topics. Before we started, you know, is it okay to swear? Or is that okay? When can you be funny? When can you not? All these things. So that's what we're going to get into. Emma Young, also one of the reasons why we picked this topic is you are very good at this. And I'm going to learn from you today.
Except for all of...
Let's start us off. Tell me what your general thoughts are on asynchronous communication, kind of from a high level. Do you have a philosophy? What are your thoughts?
That's such like a loaded question too. It's like, how do you pack everything into one very nicely typed out message as a response?
But it's hard, right?
It really is. And like practice does not make perfect, but it gets it close to there. And then everybody's different. I think just something we can start off with. You have so many different audiences and so many people that know you on different levels that everyone will take some type of communication differently. But just to quickly start off, like for people that don't know what even is async communication, it's basically where there's a form of communication where like the participants and the people talking don't need to interact with each other in real time. It doesn't have to be face to face. It can be messages or information that's exchanged, where like it can be, like you mentioned earlier, like on Slack or on Messenger, on a doc, on Teams, project management tools, and any of those emails and stuff like that. This is different from synchronous communication, which is kind of like what we're doing now, in-person calls, in-person meetings, phone calls, like live chat stuff. So this is all the stuff that is a message sent, and then you have to deal with it. And what are the best ways to deal with it from there?
So, all right. Asynchronous communication, we use it in this industry a lot because of the nature of the work. time zones are also a good reason for asynchronous communication. Your day may not overlap with your coworkers or your clients completely, and it can be helpful to get something along a certain way, and then I'm going to sleep, and that person is waking up, and then they're going to take it from here. So time zones, all these different things. All right, so let's stop. I'm going to ask you a few different questions because, again, you're good at this. What is one thing that you try to do when you're using asynchronous communication? What's something that is a guiding principle for you?
It's actually kind of funny because we communicate a lot like this because of our time zone. So that was a really good example. Like I went to bed yesterday sending you a message being like, here, check out these show notes. I'll check them in the morning, like after your full day. And then I took air. But it wasn't always that easy. Well, with you, me, yes. But like with other people, maybe it's not always that easy. But yeah, I think one of the things that I will always stand by is like over-communicating is never a bad thing when it comes to async communication, especially if the person has never met you before. Like whether it's a huddle on Slack or a quick like, hey, what's up on Zoom or on Google Meets. If you've never had the chance to put somebody's tone and their voice and their personality just a little bit behind the words, you can kind of look at, you can read it in many different ways. So making sure that there's enough clarity, that there's enough like just understanding what, like in context, that's the word I was looking for, is probably one of the things that I will go back and edit and reread something. Maybe if I rushed a message and be like, oh, you know, I know what that means, but maybe somebody else that's reading might not. So over communicating is never over communicating when it's.
You are never penalized for over communicating. And the person may be annoyed by it, but it's not your problem. That's okay.
But there,
they can skim it.
Yeah. And one person might be like, oh, I already know all this. Like, why did she spend all that time writing it? But maybe the 99 other people reading it are like, oh, it all makes sense. I don't have to ask any follow-up questions. Amazing.
Right. Well, it's taking notes in a meeting. I always, it's like, oh, no, I'll remember that. Nope, I won't remember that.
No way.
My brain don't work that well.
My brain ain't braining.
My brain ain't braining. And sometimes you're taking notes for someone who wasn't at the meeting. And if someone gets hit by a bus, this sounds terrible, but, and they weren't there.
Communicate it asynchronously. Just kidding.
Yeah, because they're dead. No, wait. Sorry, too far. Asynchronous communication. What was I saying?
Taking notes for someone.
Your notes need to stand on their own for someone who doesn't have any context. You will not be penalized for over communicating. And also the person who you're communicating with, their brain also may be like a sieve and forgetful. So over communicate, you will not be penalized.
100%. But in addition to that, I would recommend it depends on the type of communication that you give normally, like a sync, but if you do have the chance and the ability to have like jump on a short call with somebody and kind of put a voice behind the words that they're going to read on a screen, I would do it, especially if it's something that you have to give a lot of feedback for. And if it's the first time, you don't have to do it every single time. But I recently actually did this at work. I was in a call with a bunch of team leads hosting her, and I'm not really sure. I can't remember exactly the details of why I was with other team leads from people that I don't interact that closely with. But if the fast forward to the end of it, they were asking for feedback on what they were discussing. It was like a calibration session. And I'd never given her feedback before, like written the way that I did. And I reread it, my message. I was make sure there's enough context, examples, action points. But then I was like, ooh, like you can read this like I'm like rare. And then you can read this like how I'm
Wait,
saying
like how?
It.
Wait, what?
A rare.
Okay, I was just sure. I wanted to make sure I was clearly communicating.
You couldn't see me, but I also did like cat claws, like rare.
Everyone's imagining in there.
Yeah. And I was like, ah, man, like she asked for feedback. And so I was like, hey, can you just jump on a quick call real quick? Like, we've never spoken before. We just jumped on Slack huddle, like saw her face to face and was like, hey, let me give you the feedback. I will send it to you. and then I will read it. And so the next time I send it to you, it's very clear. Well, you kind of get a little bit of my personality behind it without me having to put like an over excessive amount of emojis.
All the emojis.
Yeah.
So you bring up a really good point. We're talking about asynchronous communication and how to use it, but there's also a really good point of when not to use it. And I came up with kind of this framework for me is that information is shared asynchronously quite well. The written word, whether it's in an email or a Slack, that it works well. But if you're trying to connect with someone, or if you're trying to solve a problem, or these things that are maybe have some emotion with them, it at that point, it may be much better to hop on a quick Zoom call or in Slack, you can actually do the little huddle thing. And something that may take you a back and forth and a back and forth and back and forth in Slack, or maybe taken wrong. Yeah, don't solve problems over a text message.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like if there's no decision being made quickly, or there's just like you guys are just missing the communication because of lack of context, I agree. Like there's another solution, move it to another day, or just use the quick huddle. I don't send a voice note instead. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, a voice note. You can record. Yeah, that's another one. And you can also, which I don't use enough, is the video recording where you record your screen. Hey, this is what I'm seeing. You can hear them. You can see what that person is seeing. And that can be a big help. So there's lots of ways to do asynchronous communication. All right. So one thing we talked about briefly is emojis, emoticons. I don't know what the difference is. How do you use them? When do you find them to be helpful or annoying? Or what do you use?
So one of the things I also love about hosting, or like when I switch to a different Slack, is the amount of like custom emojis that they have
made.
Denup
does too. All the little dancing things.
So sad when I go to like WordPress Slack or Bob to ours, and I'm like, where's like the dancing cookie, or like where's my
shark?
Yeah, where's the cat spinning on a Roomba? And like, I am not a very photogenic person. So I have like a hall of fame of Emma smirking, Emma flabbergasted, Emma like disappointed. And I'm actually sad, like if I even go to like Messenger and I can't send these emojis. So sometimes all you need is an emoji.
Okay, wait, before Bob, if you're listening, please get on this. Yeah. I want all the emoticons from Emma.
Yeah, we'll have to. I think I can make them myself. We'll have to see. I'm not sure. But we kind of have this weird thing where we're like the normal smiley face, like the OG, like, yeah. The normal one.
Semicolon no and the.
And the yeah. Parenthesis. Jesus, yeah. I haven't used those words in a while. Yeah. If only this really should be screen recorded, because the emoji with no teeth. Yeah. So that guy smiling for some reason has turned into like, oh, it's a passive aggressive emoji.
Oh, ooh, thumbs up. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. So those things. So for some, I don't know why when this happened, but it needs to be communicated to like new people. Like, oh, don't send that, like, because they'll think you're mad. But thumbs up is actually okay. Actually, we kind of use thumbs up as like, this conversation's done. Like, we don't need to continue. It's kind of like when you're like dating and you don't know how to hang up on the phone. You hang up first. You hang up and you're just kind of like,
no,
somebody sends a thumbs up and then there's no response and it's all Gucci.
We're all good. It's all Gucci. Hands raise emoji, like the two hands.
Yeah, the pray, the thank you, and the bowing. We use the grinning a lot, where it's just like, ooh, yeah, we got to work on that now. Or the sweating smile when something doesn't go as planned. But like,
shrug. I do love the shrug one.
Or the, I don't know, the face palm. Like, it adds a little bit of emotion. So like, but it helps. Like, also if you're sending maybe. A kudos kind of message, or like something to add some hype. Emojis, I think, help in that area, unless it's just bombarded with emojis and then it distracts from the message.
Emotion, less content.
Yes. We have had some fun. not fun for some people. Like some, some things that go out of style. No, how can I word this nicely? It's like, things that don't age well. Because like all of a sudden it's not good, or this something did something bad. And now we have all of these emojis that you're so accustomed to using, like, you know, all the shortcuts. And it's like, whoops, shouldn't have sent that guy, or shouldn't have sent that flag, or shouldn't have sent that something. And then people, like, especially if somebody sees it that's new, like, they'll call you out on it, and then you'll just have to, like, delete it. Like, it's nothing, at least if it wasn't malicious or anything like that. So there are, I think, some boundaries to emojis, but it is definitely, if you can use it to your advantage when you're doing this type of communication.
Yeah, I think the takeaway is use emojis and emoticons. They are helpful. They can add the humanness to just what is black and white text. And you can only use so many exclamation marks and things like that. You know, it's like, do you use like exclamation marks much to also emphasize?
I have this weird thing against exclamation marks. Like, nobody's that excited. Like, oh my gosh, like, hi. Okay, because hey. Some people are like that, but I think we have this exclamation mark limit in hosting your tutorials, because otherwise I do feel like some, we're not yelling at them and nobody's that excited. Sorry about hosting. So, but I do catch myself saying, doing it when I'm excited. But I did actually learn that until somebody gave me feedback on it, that I tend to do a double period, a double dot at the end, a full stop. Instead of like a three, like I'm pausing and moving into the next one, or just a full stop. So someone gave me feedback once that if I don't add more information or like an emoji, that it can be seen as I'm not happy with the situation.
Oh,
so I switched that.
Got it.
Communication. So if you're doing that and your people don't know that you're still happy, throw a smiley with teeth.
So this is a really good point, is the feedback that you got was helpful so that you communicate better in the future. So what we're going to take from that is, one, communicate and make sure that that you're giving feedback about how someone's asynchronous communication is going. Another part to that is assume the best as a philosophy. And when we haven't heard from someone, when you write this really great da 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 and there's crickets, there's nothing. How do you handle that situation when you're not getting feedback? Because it's asynchronous. You haven't heard from them. What do you do, Miss Emma Young?
Yeah. So we actually do a few things, because we do work, like my team especially is across, I think, maybe 10 time zones. And that's just my team, not even including the hosting. There's not a sweet spot that everybody can be in one call. So everything is very sync. We had this time where we used to react with an emoji once you've done what it says or that you've read it. Sometimes that gets a little old to do it. But now it's just become kind of like second nature, like react with this. And then we kind of pick a ridiculous emoji so that people can know a fun one, but also so that we ensure that they read it. So that works. But also, like, I have nothing against tagging. I don't want to say aggressively, but that's the only word that's coming to my mind. So like after 24 hours or when you know that they've worked and been online, depending on whatever their hours are, you have a certain time frame, a tag. And then another tag. And then it goes on to like another conversation. But it really is crazy to work on Slack sometimes or on Microsoft Teams and miss a message.
It's gone. I saw it pop up. I don't know where it is now.
Yeah. And or like they have all those features where you can like catch up and unreads. And if you accidentally open it on your phone, then like you're kind of screwed. So don't ever feel bad about tagging somebody. Like, ping, ping, here you go, like, check it out, ping, 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 like, at least from my point of view, I've never gotten mad at somebody who's tagged me, like, four times in something, and I'm like, thank you, I get it, next time I'll check it faster, or just, like, put a loading emoji, like, I'm getting there, mate, but it's just taking me away, like, emojis come in handy, so, yeah, a react with this message kind of thing, or, like, reply to the thread, or what was the last one? Oh, aggressively tag.
Aggressively tagging. Yeah. So that, I think that brings up a couple, you know, general philosophies of, so when you're communicating, one thing I found is that trying not to have like seven questions in one response, because if I'm on the other end of that, I may know the answer to six of them, but I don't know the seventh one. That may be the reason why someone doesn't get back to you, is because they don't know and they need to figure out, or is overwhelming, or it's nighttime and they're just not going to answer all seven of those succinctly. So as you are sending communication, encourage one, two, maybe three things that you need back, but trying not to get too many things back. I find that when you overload someone with a bunch of questions, that's the most likely time that they're going to ghost you. Not because they mean to, but because they don't have all the answers. So one, two, maybe three things that they would need to respond. When you get that response, when you see that, yeah, like the little check mark, the little green done, like, yep, did that one, or just writing done or received, or great question, let me follow up on this. Like, that's one that I try to do and I don't do enough, is that someone has asked me something that's fairly complex and I don't have the answer to all of that right now, but they need to know that I'm thinking about it or working on it or researching it or figuring it out. So yeah, that's important too.
Yeah. And I think if you work at like a company that has kind of procedures already like established, that's when emojis come back to be helpful. You can put a loading one or just the eyes or even an emoji that says working on it, and then remove it and then put like a no or yes when you're done.
The Airwallex online payments plugin allows you to localize you or your client's WooCommerce store checkout experience, so any size business is able to grow without borders. Setup takes minutes, and you'll find improved checkout conversion rates by offering Apple Pay, Google Pay, and 60 plus local payment methods. And since customers are not redirected to a different checkout page, that info is saved, and you can offer recurring payments with WooCommerce subscriptions. What really stands out with Airwallex is merchants are not forced to convert foreign incoming payments to their home market currencies, and those funds can be used to pay suppliers internationally. So, literally, you save money all around. It's all there at airwallex.com. Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org.
But I do actually want to come back to just kind of the formatting of async communication as well. If you do need to ask more than three questions, it does get a little hard and confusing in the thread if you start to answer all of them. And then it's like, are you numbering them? If somebody else wants to chime in to number one, but not to number seven. So actually, this is another thing that I like to do, is if I know it's going to be a multi-part conversation, then I will start the first message with, hey, this is a multi-part conversation, and go into why I'm bringing this up, all the context, everything we already talked about, what's the blockage or something, or if it's just an announcement. And then send the questions or the discussion topics as separate posts. That way, each one can have its own thread dedicated to that specific topic. And it doesn't, and a lot less information is lost by doing like a giant one. that ends up having to usually have to go to a call because there's just too many things going on.
Yeah, no, that's a really good, it's a really good one. There was a couple of things that, you know, I got from my friend Haley at 10Up, and she was sharing some different things about, yep, there's no such, I asked her to write, hey, can you write me some notes? You're like a superstar in this. And no such thing as over-communication. This one I thought was interesting is consistency and rhythm is a key. So if you're a project manager, or if there's something where you have a meeting coming up and you're going to send the agenda out, and it's a weekly standing meeting, one thing that I thought was clever is try to send that same summary or that agenda at about the same time every week. It gets into that rhythm, and you may not always be able to do that, but people don't like to be surprised. And if your communication style and what you're sharing can be somewhat predictable, that can absolutely be helpful. Another one I thought was interesting, I wanted your take on this, is drafting a Google Doc and then getting peer review, getting someone to look at it before you send it. Is that something that you do much?
It's not like an always or never, but depending on the message, yeah, definitely. You know, Google Docs, I'm just more comfortable writing in. I have all of my nice, like, Grammarly.
Grammarly pro for the win.
Like, you know, Jasper AI, ChatGPT, all that stuff that you can easily put into a doc, and then you can share it. Like the second part of her advice, which I also agree with. Sometimes there's a message that maybe I should share instead of somebody else, but I need their input or their context, or is this enough context for a stranger? Or does this sound like me? Or do I sound like I'm still pissed off or something like that? So no, I agree 100%. Like, it's for more important messages. Or if you're taking like notes somewhere else, take like copy and paste that into Slack and then send it there. But yeah, I tend to use Google Docs quite a bit for the longer, more like...
Yeah, client-facing, you know, things that are going to be seen by a lot of people. It can also be helpful that, hey, would you mind, you wrote something, you think it's great, but you want another person to also be very aware of it. Asking them to proofread it, one, can make sure that they are on board with the content, that they didn't miss anything. But, you know, catching the grammar mistakes, that's great. But helping keep people connected through this document that you're writing, and not rushing to publish something, like slowing down. It's going to be okay. Take a beat, have some people look at it. And this is one thing, one trick that I try to use is that, hey, when you have a minute, can you take a look at this? Isn't always the best, because what if I need to send it out by 7? Like, I've got to send that. And he's like, hey, I'm sending this out at 7. Would you mind taking a look at this? And that's like, oh, that way they know how urgent it is, or if they just can't do it in that time, you still are going to send it out at 7. You're not going to wait on them, but you've given them a chance to respond.
Yeah. And I think there's different variations of that as well. Like, I like the way that you worded it. Hey, I'm sending this out at 7. If you work with lots of time zones, just clarify which time zone at 7. But yeah, like also say like mandatory reviews, tag from these people, and optional for everybody else. There's also, actually, we had a post today from somebody on my team, Vikati. She sent a summary and then action points, and then was like, you have till the end of the day to challenge me. Otherwise, I'm pruning these URLs. And I was like, that's the best way to handle this situation, like, because it needs to be done today. And she's giving you what the plan is, and you have 24 hours to challenge it. So there is different variations of that. But again, the tagging, man, like the tagging will mandatory checks.
There's a phrase that it's unkind to be unclear. And sometimes we try to, well, you know, if you'd like to, if you think you have a minute, what do you think? Like, you know, whatever you want. Like, no, be clear. Don't be rude.
I'm laughing so bad because I have that tendency, like when I'm speaking, yeah, not when I'm writing. Perhaps, right, maybe you'd think about maybe, possibly like 99% try to hit that 100%. Yeah, I don't know. So, but yes, but when it comes to messages, it's like, do this.
Do the thing now.
Yeah, do the thing.
It's unkind to be unclear. And at the same time, we're wanting to be kind. We're going to be sweet and nice and friendly and whatnot. So there is that balance. It takes that tact. And one of those things out here, it's that pro move to tell someone, hey, this is what I'm going to do. It would be great if you've got time to do this thing, but let them know, like, what I'm not waiting on you to send it, or it needs to be done by this time because the client is expecting it at this time. So yeah, setting those expectations, telling people what's going to happen, and then using the emoticons to make them know that you still like them and that you're not angry.
Yeah. And I think something when you're writing these messages as well is beware of the type of words that you choose. Because lots of internal companies, like I'm sure 10Up and Hosting, or we could be communicating about the same thing, but using different abbreviations, acronyms, you know. But
acronyms. So many times I've had to look up, what are they talking about?
WC can be word count, word camp, water closet, but like L, like, and then we make up our own in our teams. But if you do use them, add some clarity. But two, also don't be afraid to ask somebody for, what does this mean? What do these letters mean?
Someone was that was doing BOTE. We have it for the client, a BOTE.
A BOTE?
Back of the envelope. Like we're trying to get, for a client, just a quick, just what's an estimate of it. And I'm like,
Also, some people, like myself, don't keep up with the times. And I'm not going to lie, like 6 months ago, I had to Google what it was for, whatever the letters are for correct me if I'm wrong. Because I don't use that phrase. But also when I saw like CMIIW or something like that, I was like, sure. But yeah, so just be aware of internal words that you're using if you're talking to clients. And also, if you are just talking internally, don't speak all in acronyms, unless it's a game, like some team building. But
yeah, you could just make it fuzzled on purpose. All right. So I teased something at the beginning. We're going to do a sensitive area. Swearing. Yes or no? Is it okay? When is it okay? When is it not okay? What are your thoughts on dropping bombs?
I will say, personally, my personal opinion is I have a potty mouth. So people would be really surprised if I'm not just like, beep. I'll just do the beep instead. Because that's how I speak. I grew up this way, I guess. but I think it depends on your company. Like at Hostinger, we have a very open thing about this. It's very common for somebody to just drop the F-bomb and be like, instead of excuse me, be like the... So, but in some companies, maybe it's not okay, or maybe it's less, or maybe just use like the PG words, like crap. I don't even know if that's a bad word, but like gosh darn it. I don't know. It's something that I think that it's more based on who you're communicating with. That being said, this is for internal communication for people who have worked with me for a while. I wouldn't be like, hi, welcome on your first day. Here's this message on Slack. Nice to meet you, you mother. Like, you. Yeah. So, there's a time and place for it, and I think it comes further along in the conversation and in the relationship and the collaboration. And just good general rule: don't use it at any time at the beginning to clients externally, your boss, unless you've got some good relationship, and then wait a while to use it. But I do use it. I can't lie there. I do to you in emojis and in words.
Well, and I think so. Part of it is don't be the first person to swear is probably a general one, is that as you're getting to know someone, knowing what they're comfortable with, what they're not, and is it client? Are you being more professional? There is a level of camaraderie and we're having fun together and we use similar language, like, oh, you get me. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's something to be careful of. I'm gonna go back to like one of the thing is like being authentic. Like, be yourself and be authentic. Don't start swearing because you think you should. And don't necessarily like totally leave it out because you think you should. Professional, yeah, it's, I would say that that's a pretty clear thing. Client facing, professional. Also, oftentimes probably an async where it is written down, you know, maybe not as good if it, like, someone's going to screenshot this and send this somewhere. Everything is screenshotable. Make sure that you are remember that. Even when you're getting totally fun and da-da-da in Slack, you don't know who's going to see that. Err on the side of caution, but at the same time, be authentic and be yourself.
Yeah, and I stand by that 100%, especially if you're having these important messages that you're writing and prepping in a doc and you're asking, hopefully your peers are saying, girl, maybe you should not use that word. But, you know, once that decision is made or whatever happens after following this message and you have cooler talk, but on like on a Slack kind of tool, then it's like, yeah, but,
right.
But definitely.
Yep, yep, yep.
If your mother would see it, what would she
think? Yeah. One of the things I do think is starting out a message, an asynchronous message, by being a person. That's something that we can be rushing through, and you can start a conversation mid-question and hop in. One thing that I would encourage and that I want to, and also, by the way, all of these things are aspirational. I am not perfect at this. I just want to make sure that anybody is like, oh, Adam is going to be this fantastic asynchronous communicator. Like, I want to do better at this. One of the things I have seen excellent communicators do is be a person first. Ask, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? How was your weekend? Hope you're having a good week. Starting with being a person. Do you have any go-to one-liners on like how you start a conversation?
I have a, like, variations of, I think you can tell how awake I am by my hi. It's either a hi, a heya, a hello, aloha, a little cactus dancing emoji. But then you'll also see like how much energy I have by what follows it, because coffee or not, but like it's exclamation points or emojis or something. But no, I do agree with this, especially if it's completely async. Like, you have no face-to-face interaction with them. Like, don't just send them a message and say, do this, or like, what's the status of this? How would you speak? A good rule of thumb is to speak to somebody like how you would in person. Like, you don't just walk up to somebody and demand like the status of this and then have a printed URL. How would you start a conversation with somebody that you haven't spoken to in a while, or that you would greet a bunch of people? So yeah, it's usually some variation of a hey, hello. It's I like to add a lot of O's, like the last letter, like and hello, hello. Something like that. Hi. Oh yeah, for sure. And yeah, you do genuinely want to know how somebody's doing, because I like to be on good graces with people so that we have better collaborations and whatever we are discussing will be more successful. So
what I like about what you just did is the hi, except now when you message me, like, that's what I will imagine is a hi, and I'll actually hear it in my head. But yeah, absolutely, you know, start off with a strong howdy, you know, if you can truly get someone to laugh with your emoticons or your greeting, call it a win for the day. Another thing about this is that this work is important. What we're doing is important. At the same time, this is our lives. We're spending time with these people. Enjoy. Have fun. People like to be around people that are having fun. Enjoy. Don't be a doom and gloom. Like, oh, don't take yourself so seriously. Like, it's okay. Like,
yeah, we send jokes once all of the seriousness is over, or on the side of a serious conversation, to like let things go. Yeah, you can send these funny emojis. You can send a joke. Yeah, that thing that starts a gif. How did we decide that we needed to say it?
A gif, gif.
A gif. Send one of those, and like I send LOLs. Yeah, it also like helps you get to know somebody, so when you finally do get to meet them in person, like this reminds me of WordPress Slack a lot. because if you're contributing, you'll know, like on Doc's team on Tuesdays, they start it, but you can also join it later on. That's a good example. Everyone adds their name and their handle there. On like hosting or on marketing, you have a 24-hour thing and it's just thread on thread on thread. So, but you can see these people's, you get to know them. They're like, hi, welcome from, we're from the Big Apple. It's freezing and it's something, I don't know. And then somebody else says something about where they're at and you start to like learn these little things about them as you would in person. So,
yeah. Yeah. You bring up a great point is that part of that is unique somewhat to WordPress and doing the WooCommerce is that this open source community is working on the project asynchronously. They, you know, people are getting things done and are passing things back. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And it's an incredible a testament that we can around the globe get stuff done. We don't all have to be in the same time zone. And we have built these tools relatively I mean, it's the pandemic and different things sort of sped up, I think, some of the use of these things. But yeah, it's amazing what we can get accomplished in, you know, asynchronous communication.
Yeah, and I think we spend a lot of time talking about a very timely or quick communication with like messenger type stuff. There's, of course, always emails that for me, I'm just that's a little I will get back to you in 7 to 10 business days. In an email, but we forget to mention that there's also like code contribution async, you know, like GitHub or GitLab or Bitbucket with those pull merge requests. And that's also async. You can add comments there and you can work with a developer on the other side of the world and never actually have that face-to-face communication. So it's more than just Slack. It's just that's just how the conversation kind of went.
Yeah, you have an angry, there's the working on the project, but you also have, if you're client facing, you have people who are upset about your product that doesn't work or there's your credit card got charged twice or whatever it is.
And that actually reminds me of a point that we haven't mentioned yet is just to, when you do have this dialogue, to kind of be aware of who your audience is, like of different cultures and different inclusivity and making sure that the words that you choose, words have meaning. So make sure that you're not offending anybody. And if you do, like, apologize and like, it won't happen again. You learn from these things. But handling these different type of like communication situations with different cultures and companies with a lot of different cultures is tricky.
Yeah. Choose your words carefully and intentionally. Sometimes we mess up. Be quick to apologize when you do mess up. Yeah. And I think that life will be better that way. All right. We have covered a lot of really good stuff. I am now going to be a more better communicator, much more better after this conversation. Any last thoughts as we wrap this up?
I had one, but it's gone from me because my brain is not braining.
You know what's great about that? Is that later on, asynchronously, you can tell me.
I can.
The really friendly can. People on this podcast will miss it, but that's
they
okay.
Will. But yeah. Nope, it's like completely gone. I can. It's teasing my brain.
It's gone.
But nope, it's gone. So sorry.
So we could have this conversation in public on, you know, when this gets posted, you could write the note below it in a LinkedIn or Twitter.
I will. And if you have any other questions, I do more of a hybrid kind of async communication, but I am always up for more specific scenarios, examples. You can send me your message and we can do a little thing on how we can improve it for future communication. I love that kind of stuff. So,
all right. Yeah. I would also like if anybody listening in their ear holes have been listening to this podcast and they said, hey, this is something that I do that's really good. I have a suggestion. Please ping us, put your comment. What do you use? What is helpful for you in asynchronous communication that you think the audience would benefit from?
Yeah. And if it's not async communication and it's a different topic that you want to talk to us about, let us know that as well, because we'd be more than happy to have you on our show and talk and shoot the pew-pew shit.
And that is a sign that we are wrapping up our podcast.
This is why Emma doesn't close the show. Goodbye. I appreciate all of the listeners. Toodaloo. Woo!